Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening to you. Welcome to Point of View. We've really got a jam-packed show for you tonight. Really wonderful content that we've put together. In fact, I'll tell you now, we've got a fantastic new series that we've been working on with my producer for some time. You're absolutely going to love it. It's called The Apartheid X-Files. And so we are going to be looking at those unfortunate stories that have not got closure yet, as you know. Some dating back from from apartheid days, have gone to the TRCs, and some are still waiting for inquests to actually begin. Some are reopening inquests. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And I think it's very interesting for us to also go back and familiarize ourselves with stories untold and, you know, people's lives that have not got closure in this country. So we're going to do that just after 9 o'clock. We are definitely going to be looking at the floods in the Eastern Cape. We'll speak to all the relevant players there. Really, unfortunately, one person having died today. So we'll have a look at that quickly. But let's start here. Yesterday, we spoke about the fact that former Mayor Gwamanda, had handed himself over at the weekend. We spoke to the DA, who were calling for his resignation. And the mayor of Johannesburg, Dada Morero, had committed to seeing him today. On the line with us, the City of Johannesburg spokesperson, Ntadisi Mudingwane. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to your listeners.
The mayor did certainly have a meeting with the former Mayor Gwamanda. What was the outcome of that meeting?
Yes, the mayor did meet with the MMC Kavelo Commander this morning, and really it was really to get into the details around these allegations. And given that these allegations are serious, and we want to make sure that the integrity of the office of the executive mayor is protected, the mayor, after considering all what was presented, he took a decision to place MMC Gwamanda on special leave, effective immediately.
When did the mayor become aware of these allegations?
These allegations, if you remember, Pimelo, they surfaced a little bit while the MMC was still the mayor then. They never came out the way they came out now in terms of formal opening of cases and making sure that there's an investigation and police are involved and so forth. So given that now it's in the criminal system space, as the city, we have to also protect the integrity of the organization and look at ways of making sure that we relieve MMC Commander of his official duties to deal with this matter, and also refer this issue to the Speaker of Council, because the Office of the Speaker is responsible for the conduct of councillors, so that they can be processed through the Ethics Committee of Council. And then if the person gets cleared, then those announcements will be made later.
I mean, I can appreciate you giving us a sense of where the process is going now, and that is commendable. But when you say the allegations came out but were not clear, well, whose responsibility was it to clear those allegations?
You must remember that allegations get made by individuals that feel infringed at a particular time. At that time, because I remember I used to also assist the office of the former mayor commander in terms of comms, I did speak to him and ask him about these issues, and the explanation that was given there is that some of these things happened while he was still young, and it was an attempt to help the community which failed, and he had discussions with those that were part of the establishment to explain to them that the process has failed. And at that time, it was thought that yes, everything is settled at that point. But you find that there are individuals that are going to the criminal system and pursuing a particular case. So if a case is still active and live, we need to also act as an organization to say, let's relieve the individual so that they can sort themselves out, and also follow the prescribed legislative processes within council to make sure that we protect the integrity of the organization and build trust.
When do you deem a case live? You're saying a case is live and so you need to protect the integrity of the city. I remember very well when the community of Soweto gathered, led in fact by Dr. Mpopaladze, to go to the police station. Their cameras were there. I remember that conversation very well when she told me that she had supported these families. So were you not aware? And you said, obviously, you were assisting his office. So you must have been aware of that.
Yes, we know about those issues. But you must remember that what happened now, what transpired eventually, is that a warrant was issued. And once the warrant is issued, the former mayor handed himself to the police station. So it's an active case that needs to where he needs to go and answer, which he did and went. And hence the decision of the city to say no, because there are these issues that are happening. Those will distract the individual to do the work that they are being assigned to do currently. And we need to protect the institution and give that person space to deal with those. And the executive mayor will be appointing a standing MMC for community development so that service delivery is not disrupted in that area.
When was the warrant issued?
I would not have those details yet.
Why not? Because the meeting to clarify all those details was today, to get that information so that he gives you all the relevant information. Surely after that meeting with the mayor as an office, you would know those details.
I must remember, Pimelo, that MMCs are appointed by the executive mayor. And when there are those discussions, they become bilateral discussions. We don't get involved.
You're the mayor's spokesperson, Mr. Mudungwane. You're having this conversation with us. Otherwise, the mayor should be talking to us.
I'm not the mayor's spokesperson. I'm the city's spokesperson.
All right. So we have requested for the mayor. Why wasn't the mayor able to talk to us? Why were you then given that responsibility?
The mayor is currently in a meeting as we speak.
Which is fine. Which means then you should be able to respond to questions that we would like the mayor to respond to. And you knew that this is the kind of question that we're going to be posing to you, because we did not tell the office of the mayor that we want to have information on this particular development.
The thing is, we can't get into the details, the merits and demerits.
Why not, Mr. Mudungwane? Because the residents of the city need to know.
It's like prejudging the person.
No, it's not. Telling me when the warrant of arrest was issued is not prejudging. It's a matter of fact.
Yes.
So when was the warrant issued?
I wouldn't have that details. I don't want to come on air and give false information.
So the mayor has decided to give him special leave. And what then becomes the next step? We're just going to get a new MMC appointed. It ends at just special leave?
No, the next step is that through the Councillor's Code of Conduct, which is managed through the Ethics Committee, which is run by the office of the speaker. So the mayor has reported this matter to the speaker's office, and that process will unfold internally in terms of the processes. So in terms of the code of conduct of councillors, once the councillors is found to have breached the code of conduct, because the councillor has to take an oath when they come to an office, then action will be taken through the office of the speaker in terms of the code of conduct.
Was the former mayor Gwamanda ever vetted officially?
You must remember that, Tupelo, what happens is there are processes that happen even prior to an individual becoming a public representative. A person representing a political party, for example, would submit relevant information to institutions such as IEC that would try and do the first vetting to say, is this person legitimate or eligible to stand as a public representative? And then once you get elected, there are processes that are done through SALGA to also assist and train and vet public representatives. So there's a whole lot of steps that happen. So this thing apparently is something that happened long time ago before the mayor became a politician, and it has come back. And we can't get into the merits of it for now until it gets investigated and concluded by the crime investigating authority.
So basically, the city of Johannesburg did not learn anything from the gaps in that system that you've just given me, when we had the same experience with now the late former mayor Makwarela, who had the same issues where we were told that the IEC was responsible for vetting him.
But, Pimelo, if you follow and you understand all the legislative process of the country, that's how it works.
So we didn't learn anything from that experience, because it's clearly not working.
Yeah, that's how it works. That people get vetted through the IEC so that they can be able to be eligible to be on the list, to be public representatives. And then once people are elected into systems and municipalities as well, through SALGA, they go through a particular process to work with a whole lot of individuals. You must remember that SALGA deals with more than 200 and something municipalities. So I don't know what there might be. Some gaps in the process, but what I'm saying is, yes, there might have been a mishap in terms of picking up this particular item. Hence, an action is being taken currently.
Different institutions have different regulations in what it is that they should be looking out for. Was there any security clearance done on Mr. Gwamanda?
There was a security clearance done. Because what happens is that, as part of, especially when it comes to the city of Johannesburg, there is a department of group forensic and investigation that helps us to do some of this work. So, and we work in collaboration with your institution, such as your SIU. So, the investigations and all the report of the ethics committee will clarify where the loophole was in terms of making sure that this thing gets picked up as early as possible, or even before former mayor was elected as the mayor of Johannesburg.
From what I'm reading into what you're saying, when you abandoned, you know, your search into what it is that the community members were actually telling you, it came down to you saying, well, it was an old story, it's not a thing. Am I accurate in saying that?
It was not an issue of downplaying, if that's what you're suggesting.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm asking you, because those you are saying it was an old thing when he was young. We knew, but we thought, or he told us it was old. That those were your words.
Yeah, that's what he informed the city in terms of when these allegations started to surface. And an assurance was given that those communities have been met with, and those communities are supportive of former mayor, and they understand that the project collapsed.
And when that support, you were given that assurance, and you saw them literally, even on camera, go to the police, you still believed that they gave him support?
You must remember that, Tshibelo, we are operating in a terrain that is contested. It's a political terrain where there is a lot of tension and mudslinging. And if there are rumors that suggest that opposition is mudslinging a particular individual because they are in a particular coalition, at times those things we tend to notice them, but understand them in the space that they are in, because politicians by nature, you know, there would be instances where certain allegations would be made against certain individuals because other people are not part of the ruling section. So it's those kind of dynamics that we're dealing with. However, we are saying this thing, because now it's in the hands of the criminal justice system, we need to be able to relieve the MMC to deal with those issues and allow the city to be able to deliver to the residents of Johannesburg.
Mr. Mduan, I appreciate the pressures that come with political rivalry, but I'm not sold on a case being opened being called a rumor. And if you had any concern for the residents who went to the police station, the best thing to do is to verify for yourselves. Wait, do exactly what you're doing right now. Ask him to give you space and ask him to clarify the matters. So you regard a case being opened at the police station as a rumor?
Pimelo, there has been so many cases that have been opened before against, including cases that have been opened against the former mayor Palazzi, and, mm-hmm. and some of those cases never went anywhere. So when a case is opened, it's opened. We're waiting for the police to come to the city and confirm some of those issues so that they can be able to deal with those internally in terms of our own code of conduct of our employees or councillors. So when a case is open, it is open. We're not saying it's a rumor. Mm-hmm. We're saying there has been cases that have been opened and never went anywhere. And against a whole lot of other leaders within the city of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those that happened. And what we're saying now, this one has moved.
Yeah.
Once it's moved, we need to also move. Respond.
Which is why, then, the question is, seeing as people open cases all the time, do you have a mechanism to trace the case when a warrant of arrest is issued?
No, what happens is that the criminal justice system, let me say, for example, I myself get a case opened against me by some members of my community here. Unless I go forward to the city and declare that, there's no mechanism that the city would look at all its employees or councillors and say, you had a case,
and
you need to resolve that case before you come back to work.
So you can see why I'm struggling with this, Mr. Mduan, because I, as Pimelo, can be evading arrest and still hold a position in the city of Johannesburg, and nobody would ask me anything until I declare myself a criminal, even though there may be a warrant of arrest out for me. If no one's looking, I can just continue, or better yet, I can ask for political cover, and nobody would flinch.
I don't think it's possible to ask for political cover.
No, these are scenarios that I'm painting. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm saying if I intend to evade arrest, I can still get away with doing that. And the city will be none the wiser. Nobody will act. And I can still hold a position in the city of Johannesburg with the responsibilities of an official that has to look after the city.
What we know is that the justice system of this country at times can be slow, but it's very efficient.
Not about the justice system. It's about the city making sure that the people that they appoint to look after our coffers, after our city, are people who can be held with the kind of responsibility, given the responsibility to look after the city. I'm not asking for the justice system to do that. That's a long process. Of course, we know that. But I do expect the city to look out for us and know that the people working there are honorable people.
But we are talking about a councillor that is elected by people. And we say people elected the person.
Do you think we knew that a person is a criminal?
I'm saying the person that we're talking about is a public representative that was not appointed by the city, elected through the open local government election process after being vetted by the IEC.
And not appointed by the mayor.
And then what happens is when you sit in council, there are 270 councillors. And when a motion of no confidence is tabled, it's discussed by those councillors and it gets voted by those councillors. And when a nomination of another person to be a mayor comes through, it gets voted by the 270 councillors. So it's a council process. It's not an appointment.
That would stand if this is happening only when he was a mayor, but that's not the case. He was now appointed as the MMC by the mayor. So that argument only stands if we were only talking about him only as a mayor, but he continued to be an MMC in the city of Johannesburg.
But you must remember that even now, as he steps aside, he doesn't stop to become a councillor until the process of the ethics committee in the legislature concludes its work. So this person has been elected.
Yes, but we would like the process to actually take into account that this is a criminal. And that's the point. You cannot tell us as residents that because this was someone on the ballot and they are a criminal, there are no mechanisms to check whether this person who was on a ballot, because there are state entities that are supposed to look out for us, because no one's going to stand up and say, well, I'm a criminal. We expect the city and the justice system to check for us.
But, Chimelo, you're confusing the mandate. Because the city...
By who?
The mandate of the city is not...
The mayor appoints the mayoral committee. At this point in time, MMC Gomanda is an appointee of the mayor.
You don't need to give me time to explain.
No. You don't want me to finish my point. And I've given you plenty of time to respond. This is very open. But you're not happy with the questions I'm asking. So I'm saying, I'm not confused. Mr. Gwamanda has been in office as a mayor. Mr. Gwamanda has been in office as an MMC. Two different processes. As an MMC, this is someone who is appointed by the mayor. That's the prerogative of the mayor, is it not?
It's a prerogative of the mayor, and the mayor can appoint any councillor from the 270 councillors who are public representatives that are placed within Council of Johannesburg.
Perfect.
Hence, I'm saying to you, the mandate to deal with vetting and criminal assessment and so forth is the mandate of the SIU, not the city of Johannesburg. The city of Johannesburg does not have those.
And that's fine. I asked whether that process happened. And I asked you another question. When the warrant of arrest was issued, you don't want to give me that answer because you know.
I don't have the
Why not?
I don't have them.
Why not?
Because I don't have that information to men.
Why not?
It should
be public. Why don't you have it? It should be public, is it not? The mayor had a meeting with him, and he must have clarified issues. And the reason this question is important is, how long has a city been sitting with an MMC who, though no, had a warrant of arrest out for him and did nothing? That's the question here.
No, I don't. I wouldn't want to speculate because I don't have those details with me.
All right. Appreciate your time. City of Johannesburg spokesperson, Ntatisi Mudingwane. Former City of Johannesburg Mayor Dr. Mpopalatse, as you may remember, in fact, it was on this show, I remember very well on the day when they went to the police station and opened the cases with some of the residents we've just been speaking of, who went to the police station, opened a case against then Mayor Gwamanda. And it's startling to me how we're here and everybody pretends like that didn't happen. Well, she is on the line with us, very patiently waiting. I really appreciate your time and your patience. Dr. Palazzi, good evening and welcome.
Good evening to Mello. Good evening to Kai FM listeners.
Dr. Palazzi, this has been a long road, has it not? Just maybe take us back to the day. And you did come on to the show, I remember very well, when you told us about a case that was being opened by some community members who had issues with a scheme of sorts that was, I suppose at the time, conducted by Mr. Gwamanda. Take us back and how you got that information in the first place.
Pumelo, I was DA caucus leader at the time. You'll recall that I was replaced by Mayor Kabula Ahmad, and then he subsequently resigned, and Mayor Kabula Gwamanda was then elected. Immediately upon the news of his election, some residents who were part of the scheme took to social media to make their story known. And one of our activists in the DA in the area made me aware of this. We reached out to these residents and offered to assist them. I met with them in their area in Protea, and they brought documentation with them. There were two types of investments. You could either invest in the funeral policy, or there was an investment ring where you could save money each month. Some of the victims told me they had planned to build houses, pay school fees for their children, and so on with the proceeds. And what they also shared with me was that when they tried to get their money from the scheme, they were told the scheme got liquidated. And they also shared how allegedly Councillor Gwamanda and his co-director had attempted suicide at some point, taken organophosphate poisoning, rushed to hospital and survived in hospital. So it was quite an ordeal. And they thought there was no recourse. Of course, there were some that believed the liquidation stories, and they felt that we were causing trouble. But there were others who didn't believe it, and they were shocked to see he had suddenly now emerged as the mayor of the city.
And maybe just, again, take us back to after that, when you, as the DA caucus leader, go on and do this. Coming back to council, what happened? Did you take this forward?
So I assisted them to go to the police station and open a case. And once that was done, I left it in the hands of the criminal justice system. We did inform the Office of the Speaker,
okay,
and there would be internal processes, but those were not followed. You'll recall that the Office of the Speaker was very much working with the government that unseated us. So that kind of politics internally will also play itself out.
All right.
It's unfortunate that the Office of the Speaker is hardly ever neutral.
So, okay. So that's the clarity I needed. There was formally a process where you informed the Office of the Speaker. And was there a response? What was the response?
Well, the Office of the Speaker at the time, if you recall, it was Councillor Colleen Makubele, mm-hmm, very unresponsive, very much playing the politics of the day. So we had a very antagonistic relationship with the Speaker's office. It was practically non-existent, playing politics, very biased in the execution of its function.
And maybe assist us here. You are a mayor. Take us through the vetting processes. You must have gone through the same, or maybe not. Talk to us about what kind of vetting goes on for someone who's going to be the mayor of the city of Johannesburg.
So processes start at a party level.
Yes.
The party presents candidates or candidate list. Depending on the number of seats they win, a certain number of individuals then go forward and become councillors. Now, parties are responsible to ensure that candidates on their lists are above board. as they're presenting them as prospective public office bearers. Mm. Now, it was apparent in a lot of the information that surfaced that Al Jamaa had no internal processes of its own to vet its candidates. They could not answer as to the educational qualifications of Councillor Gwamanda, as an example. They seemed really shocked at some of the information that was surfacing. So it became quite apparent that Al Jamaa as a party does not have internal processes to ensure the integrity of the people they put forward as candidates. So that was the first flaw. And then, of course, there's the IEC process. But what I think happened here with the IEC is that there was no case that had been opened. And in the absence of a case that had been opened and with victims being silent, it would be easy for the IEC to miss an issue such as this one. However, as soon as it emerged, it was not difficult for me to locate the person that had recorded the voice notes. It had done rounds. I'd like to believe that everybody in council heard the voice notes. They had access to the community. They could have accessed the same victims that we accessed as the Democratic Alliance. They just did not bother. They didn't bother. They kicked it under the carpet, and they just continued as though it didn't happen. In fact, I was slapped with a lawsuit. So I received a lawyer's letter, which commanded me to withdraw all the allegations, remove things from my social media platforms, and even issue a public apology, which of course referred to the DA legal team, and we said we would do no such. But that's the extent of the dismissive nature of these political parties that put him in office in the first place.
Hmm. So, that's quite worrying, because that there was no case, obviously there was no case number, and so the IEC, as it has done before, missed it. But the concern, obviously, is that once there was a case opened, the city almost just carried on like nothing had happened.
Yeah. Absolutely. They just carried on, kicked it under the carpet, continued entrusting to him a huge budget, a huge responsibility, totally oblivious to concerns of the 6 million residents of Johannesburg.
Have some of those residents come back to you, you know, upon the arrest? Has anybody come back to you and told you, you know, what the sentiments are?
No, I've not been in touch with them at the moment. So the DA activist that was assisting me at the time is now a councillor, currently serving in council. There is a DA caucus leader, and they would be the ones handling the matter, because I have handed over. So I wouldn't want to overstep, and I would like to believe that they are in touch with the victims, and that they're getting continuous support through this. We do hope that the wheels of justice will continue to turn. I see that he's only been charged for 12,000 rands, which is probably just one case. I do know that some of the victims were still trying to gather information. When we were at the police station, the police were trying to explain to them what type of evidence would actually stick, and some of them still had to go back and gather that evidence. I do know that it's a lot more than 12,000 rand involved in this matter. Some people just don't want to come forward. They fear for their lives. Others, like I said, believe the liquidation lies and so on. But what's interesting for me, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, that also came out saying this entity was in fact unlawful, and that for me is in itself strong enough for the mayor to act. I do believe that the mayor is abdicating responsibility by referring this to the office of the speaker. The mayor has powers to remove an NSC, and the mayor should invoke those powers. I do think this is a cop-out on his part. And him not being accountable, why is he not speaking to the media and sending a spokesperson and really throwing them to the wolves? You can't spin doctor your way out of this.
Do you know when the warrant was issued?
Well, I've seen reports that the warrant was issued in May, which are, for me, very concerning. He continued to be mayor until August and was appointed MMC subsequently. So quite concerning. And he handed himself in, which means that, the police didn't even try to apprehend him. The man was not in hiding. He was in public office, so he was totally within reach. And the fact that he even had to hand himself in, for me, is quite a concern.
Former mayor of Johannesburg, thanks very much for your time, Dr. Mpopalazi. I've got a daughter of the soil who's calling in for a comment, I believe. Good evening and welcome.
Very good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for calling.
No, thanks for having me. Firstly, I think we need to consider the issue of, I do hear when the former speakers were speaking about the wheels of justice and justice to the victims. But also, just as a resident and as a listener of Kaya FM, I'm just quite concerned with regards to your tone as well. When the spokesperson of the city was on, when you then referred to the MMC as a criminal, firstly, that for me is quite concerning. But the second one was quite interesting when the former mayor, Mpho Palatsi, was on the line. We only get to hear her sentiments and her relevance back into the political space when it's issues that have to do either with Al Jamaa or Gwamanda. But nonetheless, my submission is that having Mpho Palatsi on, my question then becomes to say that the previous mayor under Mashaba, where Mpho Palatsi served as an MMC, we heard of an NGO called FinBand. That case is currently pending before the High Court, and that is an NGO where Mpho Palatsi, we are told by the former multi-party government that she was part of, that they used that to actually swindle money to the tune of 12 million funding. That case is still before the High Court. Are we then declaring both Mpho Palatsi and Herman Mashaba as criminals on the basis that the current MMC is also being called, or these allegations are then levied against him? So that's basically just my submission. Well, if you're following the politics of the city of Johannesburg, you'd remember that when Mpho Palatsi had a court battle in the High Court, and when there was a call for her removal, her multi-party government used the fact that this FinBand is sub judice, so that she could not be removed. Are we then calling her criminal because that case, to my knowledge, hasn't been concluded, while we're selective as to who we apply this to?
Well, go back to listen to what I said. Mr. Mudingwana said, I'm giving you a scenario, and pointed to himself and said, if I do this, am I this? And I continued to say, well, let's work with the scenarios, and gave scenarios that are not even the facts. It's a scenario. And I said, if a person is a criminal, if Mr. Gwamanda is a criminal, it is not me saying Mr. Gwamanda is a criminal. And it was very clear. So listen to my wording so that you understand where I was coming from. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you having a different view. But people are going to have to be held accountable.
Yes.
Dr. Palatsi here, if we put her back on the line, she will tell you now. She had set... No, hang on a minute. She sat for a year as a mayor, or even 6 months as a mayor of Johannesburg, and refused to speak to me because there was a time when I asked her very tough questions. So I can tell you now, I have not only spoken to Ms. Dr. Palatsi in a scenario like this. I've had some very difficult conversations with Dr. Palatsi, and she decided, you know, she wouldn't even engage with me. So it's not the first time. And so issue by issue, I deal with them issue by issue. I don't conflate them, and there is no way I will have time to address all the issues on one given conversation. I do separate them as they come along.
So, there's clarity around the utterances of you calling the MMC a criminal. We've just clarified that. I think I caught the interview towards the tail end. But can we then move on to the point of Mpho Palatsi and her case being sub judice? Does that then make her a criminal?
No, but I've never called anybody a criminal unless they are. And so the point I'm making is that I've had a conversation. Hang on. You've asked me a question. Can I respond?
She spoke about justice and the wheels of justice turning slowly. So we're saying that based on her utterances, if she's making those utterances, are we then able to get her back on the line to then respond and say that because her matter is before the courts of law, it means that she is now convicted, because it's the same approach that she's applying to the MMC Gwamanda, because she has not been convicted yet.
Oh, I see. So you would like her to clarify why she thinks that former mayor is a...
That she herself
still has a pending case.
Her and Herman Mashaba, by the way, when she was an MMC of health under Herman Mashaba as an MMC, and by the way, I'm not sure I stand to be correct because I was quite young during those days. I think she was suspended as an MMC for health. So we must not confuse history. History has no blank pages. So we can't have people popping up and acting holier than thou. So that's just the clarity that I just want to get, when it comes to certain rules being applied and how the rules are applied to certain individuals.
Sure. It's unfortunate that I'm taking up your call when she's left. I can assure you, I've had conversations both with Herman Mashaba on that case when the case came up. I've had conversations with her about many other issues when her cases came up. It is unfortunate that you would have wanted her to respond to the why. Then she's behaving as if there are no issues pending for her. I can't respond to her.
No, but thank you for that. And interestingly enough, I want to use the same scenario where she was an MC when that case came up, and a few years down the line, she was elected as a mayor. So why was it that the DA allowed her to stand as a mayor when she had a case pending? What type of vetting processes does the DA follow? Because I heard her saying that Al Jamaa does not have vetting processes. How is it that the DA missed the fact that Mpopalatsi has a case before the court of law under when she was MMC under Herman Mashaba, and they still forwarded her name to be a mayor? So we mustn't have double standards, you know, when it comes to things like this. So mine is more on her utterances and not specifically anything that you've said, because I think
and your issue and the issue about the DA itself having its own process is a very, very valid point. And I can tell you now, sitting here, I haven't seen a political party that is absolutely squeaky clean. So yes, it's a very good point.
True thing.
Thank you so much.
I think that's the end of my submission. Thank you for allowing me.
Daughter of the Soil. Think it's Daughter of the Soil. They're coming from Johannesburg.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.